Well, I was born in Sandy Hills in the east end of Glasgow, and earliest memories. I was thinking that on the way in today that you would probably ask me that. My earliest memory was as a small under five child being taken along for the wee sugar cube. If you remember, you get a dot of medicine on a sugar cube for some disease, whether diphtheria or whatever. And I remember going along there to the medical centre with my mum. So that's probably my earliest memory. But very happy days, and unlike these days, it was always, you always stayed in the one house. We only ever moved once, and we were in council housing, and it was a swap with a lady we knew who had a two-bedroomed house, and we had a one-bedroomed house. So it was a, in fact, it's the other way around. She had a three, we had a two, beg your pardon. And we did a swap, as you used to do in those days. But we stayed with my granny. She was in the house. She stayed with us. And the whole family unit was there. I mean, in terms of language, there were certainly words that my grandmother used which we don't, but we're aware of them. Words like Ben the lobby, Ben the house. We know what they mean, but we just don't use them anymore. Doon the water was a phrase which we all understand to mean a sail on an old paddle steamer down the water. We know it existed, but we just don't refer to it because they don't exist anymore. And you know, and it's noticeable that my children now haven't a clue.
They don't understand the
They don't
words.
understand these things anymore. So it is gradually being lost, there's no doubt.
So when did you move north?
Well, when I married, which was 1983, our first house was in Hillington in the south side of Glasgow, and it was 2 years after that I got my first promotion to Argyll in the West Coast. And we were there for over 7 years, and I remember one of the locals saying there that I've never lost my dialect, while a lot of people have been integrated and obviously picking up the West Coast lilt. I never seemed to. Then moved back to South Lanarkshire, various jobs to Perth and Kinross and Crieff, and finally up here 5, 6 years ago now. I mean, in terms of my speech, if you like, I notice, and it has been remarked, when I go back and I speak to my brothers, I do become broader Glaswegian. However, when I'm out, you know, obviously working, but in other areas of the country, I assume this much more Sunday dignified speech.
I mean, because the dialect seems to be stronger up here than it is in
Oh, it
Glasgow.
does, and I've noticed that we have picked up one or two phrases. You know, maybe it's a Perthshire phrase, but the morn's morn instead of tomorrow is one that we now naturally use, and it's, you know, it's difficult to say when you begin to change, but just kind of by osmosis, you find yourself adopting new words and phrases.
What about your own children?
Because we've moved around so much, they don't really have any strong association with any particular area. Their births are registered in Argyll. Their fondest memories were of growing up were probably in Crieff, and here they are in Angus, living in Angus now. So they are kind of mixed up kids. They have sort of adopted the same speech as me, my wife and I. My wife comes from Johnson, out by Paisley, and fairly indistinguishable, just the same as myself. And the children are the same. You know, that there is a sort of language that Angus people use. There is a lilt to their voice particularly, and my children haven't picked that up. Don't know why.
Depends what age they were when you came up here, I suppose.
Yeah, my daughter was just starting secondary school, so she was, say, 11. And my son would have been much younger, so he would have been 7.
Uh-huh.
But again, no real distinctive northeastern speech. Probably because of so much time with us, of course.
Yeah. So how do you like living up here?
Smashing, yes, it's great. You know, the proximity to the hills is super, the space.
Mm.
It's far enough away from Glasgow in the south that you don't get pestered by people, but mm-hmm. it's near enough that they can visit if they want.
Yeah.
No, the quality of life is super. And, you know, you see the number of people that have arrived from all over mm-hmm. Britain. You know, we've got staff here from Shetland all the way down to England,
yeah.
Leeds and beyond.
Okay.
People are attracted here by the same things as we are.
Yeah.
Quality of life, it's really good.
Because they're building quite a lot of new houses.
They are all over the place. Within Lawrence Kirk they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we stay in Kirriemuir.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's holding it up there is the limitations of the public amenities.
Yeah.
You know, they really need to upgrade the water and sewerage before they can add any more onto the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, building all over the place.
Yeah.
And lots of people coming in, which is good.
So the school roll's gone up?
It certainly has, yeah. When I arrived here in May 1999, the roll was 440, 450.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's 654 this year, due to go up next year to around just under 670, we think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's but next year will be the most, thereafter it will be falling.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't think it will be falling as much as Aberdeenshire think it will.
Right.
So
you're very overcrowded?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 4 huts, or as they like to call them, relocatables, but they're huts. 4 huts stuck onto the back of the school to cope.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really in terms of the specialist rooms, the computing rooms and technical rooms and
mm-hmm.
Home economics that we really need additional rooms, but they just won't be provided anymore.
No.
The fact there's a public meeting tonight to look at the new school, which is being talked about,
yeah.
One of 24 projects by Aberdeenshire.
Yeah.
So we hope to be part of that. 20.3 million quoted as being the most expensive option. So we hope to be that.
For one building.
For one building, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I notice you have here early days in teaching. My first teaching post was in Easter House in Glasgow.
Oh, was it?
At Loch End Secondary. So I was there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, teachers saying there's almost a subculture there within Easter House.
Mm-hmm.
It was a remarkable place at the time. It certainly has changed, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, which was early 1980s, I was told it had the population of Perth
mm-hmm.
and almost no facilities.
Yeah, that.
It had one shopping area
mm-hmm.
and one pub. And that was it.
Yeah.
Essentially, there were 3 roads in
mm-hmm.
to Easter House. One down to Edinburgh Road, or 2 down to Edinburgh Road in different directions, and 1 out towards, there's a loch out by Loch End Secondary. And it really was a self-contained community. It was a remarkable place.
Mm-hmm.
Just heaving.
So what was your subject?
Maths.
All right.
Top maths there for 5 years.
It's quite challenging, I should think.
Yes. But having said that, there were many, many good families there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clearly it was an area of deprivation. But I remember one girl in particular who came to school every day with the old-fashioned white hose, as we used to call them.
Uh-huh.
A school uniform, very smartly turned out because the family wanted her to do well.
Yeah.
And it was a sort of place, much like Mearns in some ways, you know, you could be different and you weren't really at the butt end of a lot of leg pulling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people allowed you to be the way you were.
Yeah.
That's how you were.
Uh-huh.
It was a happy school. You obviously didn't have as much of a top end
no.
of ability as you would do in some places. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed my time there. Mm-hmm. And the kids were great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to, out in the pitches, there was an area of outside the school, but 9 or 10 blaze pitches, a huge area. And yeah. one grass pitch for rugby.
Uh-huh.
So they used to go out there with their golf clubs at the weekend, or during the week, and they'd hit golf balls from one end of the rugby pitch to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were finished, well, the sport was that you just fired the golf ball straight in the school. So you, I mean, the glaziers were out 3 times a week
yes.
repairing windows. It was an astonishing amount of money that was paid out in broken windows. And it wasn't unusual to find golf balls in your room in the morning. you know, the more bizarre one was I was team teaching with a teacher, and she says, Gordon, she says, come over here and see this. She says, is that legal? I says, what? She says, look at there. And on the pitches there was a guy with a whippet dog, and he had a big sack. So he reached into the sack and pulled out a rabbit.
What, live?
Aye. Waved it in front of the dog and let it off, and holding the dog for a few seconds, set the dog off to chase a rabbit. Once it had run it down, brought it back, he pulled another one out, and I don't know how many he had in his sack.
Good
grief. That was his amusement for the morning.
Training his whippet.
Training a whippet for chasing for chasing rabbits.
Oh, that's a real community school.
Oh, absolutely. So you saw all of life there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The school was just over the roads from one row of shops, which was the main post office for Easter House, and it wasn't again unusual to find particularly elderly people taking the shortcut
mm-hmm.
between the shops and the post office, having picked up their pension to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd find them walking through the school. Can I help you? Oh, it's alright, son, I'm just on my way home. I'll not be bothering you. And they just toddle through and walk out the back door.
Fair enough.
So it was before Dunblane and security measures.
Yes, so that's right. Yeah, you have to be more careful now.
Ah, yeah, that's right. So
well, thanks very much.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's fine, yes. That's good.